Episode 44 is sponsored by Technip Energies. You may be asking, what is Technip Energies? I had the same thought when approached about doing a podcast with them. Full disclosure, I was nervous about being able to talk on such a high technical level with members of a company that casually throws around terms like circular technology. Imagine my relief when I thought we had an alternative host. Ultimately, I ended up conquering my fear and hosting, and am I ever glad I did. The three ladies you hear from in today's episode not only excel in their respective fields, but they did an incredible job of explaining what Technip Energies is, the ways they are solving issues through technology, and citing multiple reasons why everyone should visit their website and start looking into career opportunities with this company. I hope you enjoy learning from this episode as much as I did.
My name is Cara Byrne, and I am the 2022 Global President of the Women's Energy Network, aka WEN. WEN is focused on developing a community of energy professionals across the world who are connected locally and networked globally. This podcast is yet another way for WEN to feature our talented members in the energy community. I hope you can learn something new and enjoy your time with us today.
This is your host, Sally Hellingston, and in today's episode, we have the pleasure of hearing from three energy tech superstars working with Technip Energies. Carolyn Cotton-Turnoff is the Assistant Director of the Weymouth Research Center. Purnima Sharma is Vice President Operations, Americas and Europe, Sustainable Fuels, Chemicals and Circularity. And Delphine Stewart is Head of Genesis in the U.S., a subsidiary of Technip Energies. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. I am super excited about the conversation that we're about to have. To start us off, let's talk a little bit about Technip Energies. And, you know, I mentioned a couple of different names in your introductions as far as company names. If somebody could please just kind of explain what Technip Energies is and how all the different subsidiaries are part of it, that would be great.
Okay, let me start off by introducing Technip Energies, who we sometimes call TEN, for standing, of course, for Technip Energies. But we are a global engineering, procurement, construction contractor, which in our industry is known as an EPC contractor. But we are an EPC contractor with a very strong position in technology. And that is how we differentiate ourselves compared to the other EPC contractors, is that we have a very strong base in technology. So there's a considerable amount of innovation and continuous improvement that goes forward in not only the process technologies, but also in mechanical engineering, in material sciences, in the way we execute projects. So technology as it crosses all borders. As part of our significant reorganization to enter the field of energy transition, we've gone and reorganized ourselves by business lines. The business lines are focused on individual products, if you wish, with a focus on, say, one of the business lines is the low carbon business line, and one of the business lines is a carbon-free business line. And as part of this business line organization, I'm going to ask Delphine to define how Genesis fits into this new business line structure.
So Genesis, basically, it's a small team that will offer consulting and engineering for early phase of project, which we call advisory. And we're supporting conventional industry, but also the energy transition of TEN. We keep our branding basically following the reorganization, mainly to stay agnostic. So not necessarily linked to any specific technology, and being able to support our client with a diversity of technologies out there.
And how large is Technip Energies, like spanning the United States, the globe, et cetera? What is your coverage area, so to speak? Because I know you are all in different areas of the country.
We are in different areas of the country, and we are about 15,000 people right now globally across all continents, I can say. I hope that's accurate geographically, but we are in many, many countries. Our head office is Paris. We are a French base, however, a very global organization. We do take pride in the fact that we hire locally. And so our local centers in various geographies are large, and we tend to do a lot of work for the country that we are in, focusing with the resource pool in that country. But then as needed, support is provided by another center elsewhere in the world. So Houston will work with Colombia, or Houston will work with India, or Asia-Pac office in Malaysia would work with Houston. So we tend to first lean on the resources in the local region and then provide help from elsewhere in the world.
If you each wouldn't mind taking a moment just to dive a little bit into your specific role and then also explain a little bit about what drew you to your role in Technip Energies, that would be amazing. So Carolyn, let's start with you if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So I'm a chemical engineer and I started working as process engineer. And after a few years of experience, I moved to the United States in the Boston region. And I discovered that Technip Energies, at the time Technip, had an office there. And I was very excited to hear about that because in France, Technip Energies is very well known and has a very good reputation for process engineers and training and working on very exciting projects. So that was very exciting for me. And when I was hired, I was very happy to join the team in Boston. And close to Boston, we have also a research center in Weymouth. I had the opportunity to start working there to help them with the workload 7 years ago. And I enjoyed the work so much that I actually decided to stay. And over the years, I took more and more responsibilities on the research programs that we do here. And I was promoted assistant director last year. And now I oversee and coordinate all the research programs executed at the research center.
Delphine, if you want to kick it off next.
Yeah, sure. So basically, I joined Technip 19 years ago in Aberdeen office. At the time, it was also Technip under the Technip branding. I was sent over in Houston for a specific project that from a duration of 3 months became like, I don't know, maybe a year and a half. And at the end of the day, I was transferred, maybe I think it was a year before, so 18 years ago to the Houston office. And I stayed there since then. So I started up more on the subsea oil and gas industry. And from there, so I would say I spent like 15 years in oil and gas industry, working on the subsea side, going from graduate engineer to senior engineer, principal, started supervising a small team, and from on went up the ladder and started, with Genesis 4 years ago, where I had a design engineering team reporting to me. A few more years down the line, I'm supporting and supervising the current team of Genesis, which is approximately a 60 engineer. Just to add in terms of my background, so I'm the equivalent of what we have did in the US as a master in ocean engineering.
Excellent. And Purnima?
My journey is slightly different. I'm a chemical engineer by training, grew up in India, and immigrated into the US in 1989. And the company I came with, a company called Kinetics Technology International, it was a global company too, but I came into the US for a bit of an adventure, but stayed since then. Thought I came for 5 years, and here I am, since 1989. But Technip bought this company in 1999, and that's how I came into joining Technip. But I think what drew me not necessarily only to the company was the field of chemical engineering. And I was talking to the other ladies a little earlier that I needed a profession, didn't want to be a doctor, didn't want to be a professor in a university. And engineering was very interesting to me, and I stumbled into chemical engineering. And I have truly loved the profession of chemical engineering. And I think that is what has kept me going all these years. And the company I came to the US with was a technology-oriented company. And when Technip bought us, I felt that it was a continuity of that technology base that was very strong in Technip. And it has been maintained in that fashion. And I had an opportunity to become the managing director of a process technology division in Houston for about 10 years. So from there, I have now been given a new role with this reorg to manage operations for Americas and Europe. And what that means is that I'm accountable for the execution, efficiency, financial performance on projects in Americas and Europe. So interesting journey from chemical engineering to technology oriented to managing operations now.
That's incredible. So between the three of you, there's no shortage of experience, that's for sure. One of the things I kind of noticed as I took brief looks at your LinkedIn pages is that you've been with the company in various roles and different versions of the company for quite a long time. And that oftentimes is unheard of nowadays, right? Like, people are not necessarily loyal to the companies they're with, or they want perhaps, you know, some different benefits or whatever that might look like. So I think, you know, just making a comment here that I think that your longevity with the company definitely, you know, that's a sign of a good company with Technip Energies, correct?
It's true. I mean, we, and that's what one of the points I wanted to highlight, the fact that the company has got and provide a lot of opportunities, you know, internally. If somebody get a bit demotivated or want to do something else and, you know, demotivated in a way that they learn and they reach the limit of their current position and they want to see something else, it could be something in line with their engineering skills or something totally different, you know, linked to cost or estimating or things like that. We will look, I mean, that's the role of the manager to look around within the company to keep that person motivated and entertained, I would say, because people need to be willing to drive to their job place, you know, to drive to work and enjoy their day, really. I mean, there was no day, I think Purnima was saying that earlier on, I don't think there was one single day that I was not eager to go and do whatever I had to do at work. Yeah, sometimes it's stressful and sometimes it's more challenging. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the role and your responsibility and really your motivation, yeah.
And I would add that the company has been changing a lot recently. So we spun off early 2021 and the company really moved into a new direction with going a lot more aggressively in the energy transition field. And for everybody, it's been very exciting to see how new projects come in. I'm in the research center, so we also have a very early look at new technologies and new things that can be done. And it is a very exciting time, I think, to be working in chemical engineering and in technology, because so many new things are being done to try to solve some of the new challenges that we see for the planet and for the world, I guess.
That's a great kind of segue into my next question for you all. Is there a project that you've worked at Technip Energies that you're really proud of?
I can say that the 10 years, it was more than a project. I think the 10 years that I was fortunate to lead the process technology division in Houston was like a new project for within Technip. They had never identified a global division for technology. And we had the challenge to bring in early engagement with the clients, bring in front-end type of work that would later lead into larger projects. And the other very exciting thing for me was that we were acquiring a name or a company called Stone & Webster at that time in Houston that I had an opportunity to lead, and they had some very strong technologies. They had struggled financially, but they were coming into Technip with a strong reputation, but unfortunately they had kind of lost their way a little bit on the financial side. So to bring that team into Technip, to meld that culture with the Technip culture, that was very exciting. And I think we formed a very, very good team at the end of it. And we had some very great successes, you know, winning large shares in our respective technologies and a great team to work with. So I think that was my most memorable time in Technip.
Yeah, for me, I would say that there isn't a specific project really that I would pick, but just working in research and development, I have the opportunity to work on new technologies that Technip Energies is looking into to evaluate their interest, their potential, and especially in all the new technologies that we look into for the energy transition. So new feedstocks, energy efficiency, things like that, for Technip Energy internally, but also for external clients. So it's very exciting. It can be very challenging. It's research and development, so it doesn't always work, but definitely never boring. And so always very exciting to get into new projects.
Yeah, and to add to what Caroline said, I mean, I'm a bit in the same boat. Like, I don't see any specific project, but I think it's, it's a goal, seeing what you're doing as an engineer and then seeing the completion at the end of the project. Just, I had the opportunity to go in field on site and being able to see the final product, it's very rewarding for an engineer. Yeah, and sometimes it's a small contribution you will give, you know, you will bring to that project. But at the end of the day, you see the overall project, and it's very, you know, rewarding. You feel that feeling of completeness. And for a young engineer at the time, I know this was the first one of the first projects I had that I went offshore for. Yeah, it was like, whoa. We made it, and I was part of it.
That's awesome. For both myself and our listeners, could one of you take a moment to kind of explain what circular economy means, and then also how Technip Energies is really focused on supporting that circular economy?
So I can take this one. I actually have a real life experience of that at the research center. So the circular economy, really, if you want to explain it very simply, it's recycling. It's how can we reduce the plastic waste that we make and reduce our dependency on fossil fuels for feedstocks to make more of the products that we need. And a very real life example of what Technip Energy does and how the research center was involved into that is a technology that we have in partnership with another company called Agilix for chemical recycling of polystyrene. So polystyrene is used in packaging, but also in construction materials. And up to recently, it was basically not recycled. But with the technologies both from Agilix and Technip Energies together, we now have a solution to go from plastic waste to the molecule, the styrene molecule, pure enough that it can be reused to make newer plastic, and then close the loop like that back to plastic waste and then back to new plastic. And in that way, we don't reuse more feedstocks, but also there's less plastic going into landfills, for example. So it's very important for the future, I think, that we develop more technologies like that. And Technip Energies is definitely working a lot in that field with concrete solutions that can be implemented to reduce the waste.
And so with that, do you guys internally have any initiatives or timelines on things that you want to achieve by, like, you know, like I always think of like the Paris Climate Agreement, by 2050, it'll be this. But is there anything that Technip Energies is really focused on making happen in the next 5 years?
So specifically to the circular economy, I know that one of our goals, and I'm not sure if we have a timeline for that, but one of our goals is that for every plastic technology that we have or that we license, we want to have a recycling technology. We want to develop that either by ourselves or in partnership with other companies.
Would you say you're pretty kind of ahead of your peers in that sense?
Well, I think a lot of companies are doing that, but definitely there's a real drive within the company to do that.
If I can add one more item to this, is that what we have, as Caroline just said, is that we are looking at a variety of technologies, some that Weymouth is developing, which is the example that of Agilix. But what we have done is we formed a club where we evaluate different circularity technologies. And then if we think that their technology readiness or their potential is high, we bring them into this club. So we formed a club of technologies on circularity, not only on polystyrene, but on polyethylenes and the others. So Technip is very, very focused on the circularity part of our business.
So you are obviously three amazing women with technical backgounds. It's an industry that's not always, a lot of women don't participate in. How do you support each other and other women within the company and within the industry?
So I would say we've got different groups within the organization, like the Bold ERG organization, and also the parents network that are supporting us. Also, we're part of WEN, as you know, and we've got some goals also on diversity and inclusion as well. Yeah. In addition to that, I would say that we really supporting each other on a daily basis. And I will shift a little bit, which we can mainly say that it's a mentoring, but an official mentoring. Like if there is something, you know, we are not so sure about and want some guidance on, I mean, we always have a person where we go to and seek some advice on whether we need to go that route or the other route to be able to see what's the best, not for ourselves only, but for the, you know, the company as well.
I would agree that, you know, we don't have a defined network, but at the same time, we have an informal mentoring and supporting system within the organization. When you are a small group in a large company like ours, you do tend to gravitate towards like-minded people with similar experiences that they are going through. So I think on a professional basis, the presence of other women is steadily increasing within the organization, and that is helping strengthen that informal network that is happening. But as Delphine said, and others said, that we also are setting objectives at the corporate level in terms of increasing the population of women with, you know, directions on when we hire, we're going to hire 50% fresh graduates, hoping to build that network over the years to be stronger as more women come in. But I can tell you, I've been in this company for a long time, and it's been a slow but a steady increase in the number of women and at senior level positions. And that network is already visible. That support network is already visible, not just in one geography, but I'm working today with Americas and Europe. And I see that connection with women everywhere in the world. And we have some very interesting positions that recently have been filled by very capable women within Technip.
Yeah, and maybe to loop back to your question, you were talking about the fact we all have a very technical background. And I think that's also a strength for women. We are interested in technology. We are interested in all STEM fields when we're young, and we need to keep on doing that. And seeing other women in the company learning new things, moving up, is always very inspiring. And the goals that the company has to make that more visible, to hire more women, to have more women in leadership positions, is very encouraging for us, I think.
And Delphine, you mentioned it a little bit earlier in the conversation, but you talked about, you know, like one of the nice things about Technip Energies is that if you want to progress or move to another position, there's a lot of opportunity to do that. So in thinking like that, you also mentioned informal mentorship and sponsorship. Do you currently have someone that has really helped you kind of navigate those changes and figure out how you can move up? And I'd ask the other two ladies as well, do you have any current mentors or sponsors that are really helping you internally? And are you doing the same for others?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it's not only one person, it's, you know, several people. And very often it's the people that you work closely with, you know, that are close by, that you can talk to on a daily basis, and making sure that also, I mean, it's not only receiving, but giving, like you said. So I make sure, I mean, just this week, I was talking with a young engineer and a female, and she was asking me some advice. She told me, hey, just remove your manager hat. Just talk to me like personally, you know, what do you think? So, and it was funny because I was like, okay, so let me adapt to that situation. And I did tell her it was a situation where she had opportunity on taking two different positions that I was offering, moving on to two different positions from where she's at. And she was asking me what was the best, or what I thought would be the best for her career path. Yeah. And at the end of the day, as difficult it is to see her leaving my organization, more likely, I had to tell her the truth and say, well, no, I think this is bad for you. Just go there. You can always come back. But that's the beauty of it, is like, we're not here to just keep resources for ourselves and make our project grow. We're here, we understand that not only us have want to have a certain career development and a career path, our people under us need that as well to stay motivated and to grow, basically. And hopefully she will be back in a few years, but we'll see. But this is kind of thing, being able to mentor and give advice to the generation below us, right?
Yes, and I would say that I completely agree with Delphine that a lot of it is the people we work with and interact with on a daily basis. I found that everybody can be an ally. Everybody is very open to giving advice, trying to provide good insight about opportunities, about different paths that you can take. And I really try to do that also for the younger people who come in. As a manager, I think our role is also to make sure that we can provide them with the tools that will help them grow in different directions. And yeah, like Delphine says, sometimes it's good for us because we're going to keep them in the team, and sometimes it's to help them go somewhere else.
I would agree with everything Delphine and Caroline have said, but I think what is very important I found in my career is you always need mentors, not just to move your career forward, but to be able to put things in perspective for you. We all do stressful jobs. Our days are stressful. And sometimes you overstate a problem or understate the issue. You need somebody else's perspective to get things aligned and give yourself an ability to think more rationally. Mentors are of all kinds. I mean, it doesn't have to be just women. It doesn't have to be superiors or senior managers. It could be anybody around you that has been through an experience like that or can set the perspective straight. Women in the organization are very, very helpful in that aspect, to be able to walk into somebody's room and they instantly connect with the situation you're facing. But I have to say kudos to my other mentors as I went through the organization, who've offered extremely valuable advice and help to help me mature. Everything is not a crisis, and so you got somebody, you need to have somebody to tell you that and say, take it easy, think it through. Here is my advice. So mentors are always essential.
And it's very key to find your mentor, yeah, because sometimes you're scared to ask questions or to go and, bring a problem or something you want, a concern you want to discuss. But, I mean, you will be so surprised by the way people will answer you, It's like Caroline was saying, people are open to talk to you, and they will help you. Yeah, there is no, I always say to engineer usually, there is no silly question. Just come and ask. I mean, communication is key, basically. Yeah.
I'd like to argue that there are silly questions, but.
Yeah, but see, if we say that, then they won't come.
That's true. Well, internally, it sounds like you've really found a great support system within each other and then utilizing outside sources like Women's Energy Network. So if you're talking to, if you're telling our audience right now and they're thinking, well, should I even think about going into the technology side of the industry? Like, what are some pieces of advice that you would advise them, whether they're just starting in their career and they're looking to do technology, or maybe they're trying to make a switch midway through?
Well, I would say it's a very exciting time to get into technology. A lot of new things are happening. We are trying to find a lot of new solutions. We are diversifying a lot what has been energy for so long. Now there are so many new options, and we're looking into wind, we're looking into solar, we're looking into hydrogen, and everything needs to be redefined and everything needs to be built for that. We need women to come in and look at that, because they bring a new perspective, they bring a different outlook on things, but also they make up 50% of the world and we need their input. We need them to come and build this for, with the rest of the world.
Yeah, and to add to what Caroline just said, I mean, for me, the shift in the energy industry right now, it's really motivating, and there will be endless opportunities. I'm really proud, and I can say about the way the company has shifted and geared ourselves towards the energy transition. It's basically wanting to keep being the leader in that industry. Like, we used to be a leader in engineering oil and gas before, and now it's really gearing us for the best in the energy transition. So that's really good.
Absolutely. And I think this revolution to go from oil and gas to something else along with oil and gas is going to be based on technology. So there is such a need for the best of minds to join companies like ourselves. As Caroline said, 50% of the population in this world is women. And from the statistics we read, there are more college-trained women than perhaps men right now in certain parts of the world. So we need the best of minds at this time. It's going to be built on technology. And if we don't accelerate that, then our 2050 targets or the 2030 targets will be that much more difficult and more challenging. A lot of technology development is taking place right now that needs new thinking, you know, how to reduce costs, how to get better catalysts, how to commercialize it. So many new questions to be answered. So we need the best of minds.
And do you think that it is a requirement anymore to have a four-year degree, or is there certifications out there for people that might want to be transitioning from, let's say, like me, for instance? I have a communications degree, which, you know, it's just the easiest thing I could take to get out of college. But is something like that is easy to transition into the technology industry, or do you need a little bit more, you know, additional education, whether it's certifications or more years of college?
I think there is so much opportunity right now that it's hard, and I'll leave it to Delphine and Caroline to correct me, but digitalization, for example. Digitalization is a field that is open to any background you come with. There are enough courses and certifications out there to be able to build a career in digitalization. In hardcore engineering, it is difficult to do without a four-year minimum college education. But there are so many other fields today that will promote the energy transition that I think one should just keep an open mind.
I absolutely agree. And I think digitalization is a very good example or a field where it is going to be needed for the energy transition in the future. It's not as technical as some of the other jobs that we can have in the field. And there's certainly a lot of opportunities there. Now, for me, working in a research center, yes, we look at people with degrees, very technical degrees, because that's what you need to understand the chemistry. And basically, that's what we go back to. But there are other opportunities in the energy transition, definitely.
And to add to what Ponima and Caroline said, I mean, it's the same within Genesis. I mean, we will look for engineering degrees. This being said, I mean, there is a big portion of companies that's within shared services that are able to, you know, support us, basically. They will be part of the journey, yeah? Even though they don't necessarily have an engineering degree, they will still, you know, contribute to our project and our goal, yeah? Which is very important because it's a big team.
It's a big team, and it's complex execution with all kinds of backgrounds and expertise that is needed.
What's the best piece of advice you've heard or given regarding women achieving success in the energy sector?
So I can start on that one. So on my end, I would say making sure you don't lose an opportunity. Sometimes, you know, you will be offered to move on in your career to take a different position or to work on a certain project. You may feel like, well, it's overwhelming. It's something different. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But at the end of the day, if people, you know, your manager or supervisor thinks you can do it, they know you best. And I would say just to try and see if it works out. I mean, most of the time, yeah, it could be overwhelming and it's a change in your habits and in the way you used to work, or, you know, it will maybe change your daily basis and routine with, you know, balance between your personal life and your work life. But at the end of the day, just take the opportunity that is provided, try and see if it works out. And then, well, if it fails, it fails, and you will have some lessons learned out of it, and you will make a good, you know, the positive out of it. But yeah, really not being afraid of the change and taking the opportunity to move forward. Yeah.
And that's great advice, Delphine. A piece of advice that I like to keep in mind as a woman in a very male-dominated field is to bring your whole self to your role and not to be afraid to do things a bit differently. I think as women, we bring something different. We bring a new perspective. We bring maybe new ideas. And this is very important for the company. And so don't think that you have to be more like others, or don't think you have to be less vocal or less visible, because you are bringing something, you are adding something to the rest of the company. And it's very important not to forget that.
That's very good advice, Carolyn and Delphine. That was good, good listening to that. I think the best piece of advice I was given was that once you believe you have done the preparation to be the expert in what you do, then don't hesitate to ask for more responsibility. I think we tend as women to wait and say, we need to learn a little more, we need better training, we need, you know, to spend more effort. But the advice I was given, which somewhat is similar to what Delphine was saying, when an opportunity comes across, go ahead and ask and say you should be considered. Be confident in yourself for the amount of work that you've already put in, and then be willing to ask to be given more responsibility. I think that was the best advice I ever received.
Thank you for listening. We hope you join us next time. Until then, be safe and power on.